Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. Welcome to Good News Christian Ministries broadcast, Good News in the Morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. This Good News Christian Ministries you can find out more about on the web at www.gncm.ca, goodnewschristianministries.ca. I do want to thank you for listening today and for your encouragement and support. Please remember you can always visit that website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. If you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and download the podcast or MP3 of the broadcast. Today, as I speak to you and as we share together in God's Word, I want to take a look at a teaching of Jesus that is a beautiful, wonderful teaching on prayer. And I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is on a journey, and he's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread, because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." This scripture is a really wonderful teaching on prayer, but it's one that has been widely misinterpreted and can seem to give quite a different message than the one that it actually does. I'm going to share with you today some thoughts on this scripture that I learned from Don Sanukian, who is a professor of preaching at Talbot Seminary. He was at the Moody Bible Institute's Pastors Conference, which I attended in the month of May. It was a wonderful experience. We heard much great teaching, and this is one piece that was done so well that I just want to share it with you as best I can. And so we're going to take a look at this scripture, which speaks about a man who has a need because a friend who has come in unexpectedly. When you hear this scripture, perhaps you've heard it before, and when you hear the message of the scriptures about the friend that won't open the door, what does it speak to you about God's attitude to prayer? Has it told you, or has it been taught to you, that the meaning of this passage of scripture is that you really need to kind of batter on God's door when you pray? You just have to keep on banging on the door, because God doesn't want to help you, but he will if you are persistent enough. Is that the kind of message you have gotten out of this scripture? Well, as we look at this today, I think you're going to find that the message is really quite different, substantially different from that, and you're going to be encouraged by the Word of God in this scripture. We're going to do that and look more deeply at it in a few moments, but as we usually do, we want to listen to some music that is in praise of God and remembering his good works. And so I'd like you to listen with me to the following song. This is a song from Stephen Curtis Chapman's new album called Deep Roots, in which he goes back to his family's roots with a bit of a bluegrass feel. And he sings here the familiar hymn, "He Touched Me."
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while he turns. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
As we look at this scripture from Luke chapter 11, we need to think about what the situation is here. What is the situation that Jesus is talking about, and how is it familiar and meaningful to the disciples at that time? He describes that you've received a friend late at night. He's come unexpectedly, and you have nothing to set before him. So you go next door to a friend. You knock on his door and you ask for some help. Why has this friend arrived unexpectedly? Why has he arrived in need of food? Why has he arrived so late at night? We must remember, of course, that we're talking about a different era. We're talking about Palestine in the Judea in the early first century. Can you imagine traveling in those days? There's no means of phoning someone ahead and saying, "I'll be there at 4 o'clock. You're likely traveling on foot in a very warm climate. It was the practice in those days that people wouldn't start their journeys until the heat of the day had passed. And if they knew in advance that they were going to visit a friend, they might be able to send a message through another friend and say that I'll be coming sometime next month. But it was difficult to be more precise than that. There was no postal service per se. There was no email, telephones. They didn't use smoke signals for that kind of thing. No, long-distance communication was a trial. And so everybody knew that the unexpected could happen, that someone could drop in any day. And they wouldn't resent that or feel like it was an imposition. They would be happy to have these infrequent visits from their friends, because it wasn't a case of being able to just hop in the car and drive 20 or 30 miles and just spend an afternoon with somebody. No, traveling was a big deal. In fact, I'm amused by the fact that the English word travel is from the French word travail, which means hard labor, difficulty. So imagine that the friend has started out as the day starts to cool, as everyone would. He's been walking. He doesn't have McDonald's to stop by on the way, and probably doesn't have the resources to eat out even at the inns. And the inns weren't exactly the safest places in many cases. So when he arrives, he's perhaps dusty and tired. Perhaps a couple of hours ago it got dark, and he thought, I'll just press on a few more miles, and I'll be able to get to my friend's house. And he arrives, and you're there. He knocks on the door. You get up, and you welcome him in. And then you realize you've got nothing to feed him. Bread in those days was a staple, and it was used to serve the sauces and the dips that would make a part of a bigger meal. And there you are, without anything to give him. A man has been walking all day, and you know that your duty as a friend and as a host is to give him something before he goes to bed. Now, in that situation, Jesus says to the disciples, and perhaps the New International Version is not as clear as some other versions, Jesus puts the whole situation as a hypothetical situation. In the New International Version, it says, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. That doesn't quite get the nuance of Jesus' teaching. In fact, the next story begins with the proper phrasing from the Greek of the New Testament. When he says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Do you understand here, in this case, that Jesus is asking a hypothetical question where the answer would be expected to be no? Would any of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, give him a snake instead? And the answer would be no. Obviously not. If he asked for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No, never, never. Jesus asked this kind of a question to show people how silly it would be to think of God as being less generous and less good than even a human father. He says, if you wouldn't do that, don't you think that God will give good gifts to your children? Well, how does this story become about God giving good gifts to his children? This story that we've often thought meant we really had to force God's hand in prayer. Well, we'll look at that in more depth after we listen to this hymn from A Celebration of Hymns, a collection of hymns called Reflective Moments, and this hymn, the familiar Good Friday hymn, There Is a Green Hill Far Away.
Thank you.
To help us understand the story that Jesus is telling and the meaning that it has for prayer, let me put a hypothetical situation to you. Supposing that you're asleep in bed one night and the phone rings. You get a message that a family member is in deep distress in another city. Let's, in this hypothetical situation, suggest that it's your mother. She's living at some distance from you, and she has just been put into the hospital, possibly with a stroke. Now, you wake up, and you know that you have to be there with your mother. You need to go now. You need to go and see her. You and your wife both need to be there because Dad's going to need some help and Mom's going to need some comfort and encouragement. And so you think about how you're going to do this. The kids can't go with you. You can't put them all on the airplane. You can't afford the flight. They have school. They have other things they need to do. And you just don't know how long this is going to be. And so you're trying to figure out what to do. Now let me put the hypothetical question to you, as Jesus put it to his disciples. Which of you, if you were in this situation, would call up your friend? Perhaps lives a couple of doors down. You'd call him up that very night, in the middle of the night, and he'd pick up the phone, and you'd say to your friend, Bob, could you and Martha please take our kids for us for the next couple of days? Because we've got to go and see to my mother in another town. Now, which of you, if you called up your friend and asked them that question, would find that the friend would say, oh, I'm sorry, Jim. I just got into bed. I was just settling down. And you know, we've already turned the alarm on, and I'd have to poke in the code again and turn it off. And then I'd have to unlock the doors and get out blankets for the kids and that sort of thing. It would be a lot of trouble, Jim. You think your friend would answer like that? I bet you're saying no. You're thinking your friend would answer the phone and say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. We'll do everything we can. Bring the kids over and we'll have beds ready for them in the spare rooms. And we'll make up some snacks for you to take on the road so that you can keep alert and awake. We'll have some coffee for you. And can we take care of the pets while you're gone? Do you need anything done in the house? Will the plants need water? Which of you has a friend that would take that second answer? Of course, I certainly hope you all have a friend like that. And that's the expectation that Jesus has when he asks the disciples this question. Which of you has a friend that would say to you, oh, I can't get up. My kids are asleep. I might wake them. Oh, I've already put the bar across the door and, you know, the lock sticks. No, no, the disciples are thinking, that's not a friend. No, my friend would be out there and giving me what I need. This is, in fact, the meaning of the parable. When the scriptures come to one very difficult word, they have a great deal of trouble translating it. Because Jesus says in this parable, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because of his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now this word boldness in English is a translator's attempt to capture the meaning of the Greek word. And if you look into other versions, or the footnotes even of the New International Version, you'll find that some translators say because of this man's persistence. Or, in the King James Version, it'll say because of your importunity, which is essentially the same thing as persistence. The word that is being translated is a word that occurs only once in the New Testament, so it's very hard to find a translation for it. Usually when you're trying to translate a word, you can see how it's used in other contexts. But this unique word is a lot of trouble And if you search through the versions of the Bible that you might have at home or on the internet, you'll find that each translator, each version takes a different approach to it, which shows you how difficult this word is to translate. The word, in its root meaning, is a word composed of two parts, that one part that means without, and the other part that means shame, without shame. And it's still hard to put that into the sentence and understand its meaning. But it looks like, given the situation that Jesus describes, that Jesus is saying that the fact that you asked him, the fact that you thought of him and asked him, is enough to make the man give whatever you need. You see, with you, you were not ashamed to phone your friend. You knew that you could count on them. You knew that they loved you and they would understand your situation. You knew that they would be ready to do whatever they could, that they would bend over backwards to help you. And when that person received the call, though they're rubbing the sleep out of their eyes and trying to focus, they're also thinking, I'm so glad that he thought to call me, because I can help here. Your shamelessness, your readiness to, without any shame, come and approach your friend is a great commendation of your friend. And likewise, Jesus says, God is pleased when his children are not ashamed to turn to him and ask for what they need. Indeed, he will get up and give you as much as you need. And so Jesus concludes the parable with these words, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Is this a parable about twisting God's arm, about annoying him until he finally gives in? No. This is a parable about the readiness of God to hear your need, to understand your want, his readiness to be a friend who will move heaven and earth to show you his love, his grace, and his sufficiency. Let's thank God for this in prayer. Almighty God, thank you so much for being a generous and good God. You have given us life. You've given us so many blessings in this world. And when we are in need, Lord, you have given us hope that we can turn to you and seek from you your help and sustaining power. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for your participation in this program. I do hope that you will continue to tune in week by week, and that you will, if you're able to, support our ministry financially. You can help us to continue to reach listeners throughout the Ottawa River Valley by making a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and sending it to Post Office Box 184 Rideau Ferry. That's in Ontario at K0G1W0. We will be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. You can also make donations through the website. I also do want to encourage you to tell others about this program and help them to be encouraged by these words from Scriptures week by week. Please be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Now, to conclude our program, I would like to have you listen to this song, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. It's an old hymn sung by the a cappella group GLAD from their album, A Cappella Hymns. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. May the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise. Light inaccessible, here from our high. Most blessed, most glorious, the angel of death.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.